And remember, the Apostle Paul is penning this letter to those who were under the influence of the doctrine of Nicolaitans. And being under the influence of the doctrine of Nicolaitans, they were trying to forge a relationship with God, okay, through the tools of that first covenant. Okay, using those tools of the first covenant, okay, they were trying to intrude into the mysteries of God, okay, and trying to bring equity within their own soul. Okay, but it's faith that brings equity to the soul, as we continue to read on here. Okay, so the Apostle Paul was penning this letter, okay, to those, okay, also under his stewardship. Okay, and that's why he brings out too, in chapter 1, okay, as concerning these two kind of gospels. Okay, the gospel of Nicolaitans, okay, is correct historically, but is an error as concerning the foundation. Okay, and the Apostle Paul was preaching as concerning the foundation of Christ being laid within the heart. Okay, and that by faith, okay, the individual, okay, building upon this foundation will continue to increase with the grace of God. So Paul warns about frustrating the grace of God. And we see that in chapter 2, verse 21. He said, I do not frustrate the grace of God. For its righteousness comes by the law, then Christ is in vain. The purpose of his sacrifice was to provide us his fullness, okay, that we no longer serve God in the symbolisms of the portion. The symbolisms of the portion, okay, are found in those things of that first covenant, as concerning meat and drink, okay, or that first covenant communion, okay, which honored the Passover, okay, because Jesus is the final Passover. That's why it's called the Last Supper. Okay, he was the final Passover to fulfill all Passovers in himself. Jesus also concluded, okay, all Sabbath days in himself. Okay, as was prophesied of him, okay, even in the book of Genesis, okay, that God set a sign upon the Sabbath day, okay, that the Sabbath day would point to himself at the time of fulfillment. And at the time of fulfillment, it would be spoken against. Because man that's trying to forge a relationship with God based upon carnal things, okay, would resist that of the Spirit. Okay, the moral code resists faith. Okay, because the moral code okay, produces its own okay, equity with the imagination. Okay, now, the mystic law is a child of the moral code. Okay, and the mystic law, okay, is trying to find equity with the aspiration and the imagination. And we know that through these things, okay, it frustrates the grace of God. Okay, these things become a barrier to his grace, as he says the word frustrate. Okay. It doesn't allow grace to come to its full cycle within you. If grace doesn't come to its full cycle within you, then how will your joy be made full? And your joy cannot be made full with frustrated grace. It's like removing the seed from the soil. Once you plant the seed, you're to leave it, okay, for the purpose of its regeneration, okay, in order that it may produce, okay, that it may follow the pattern of its own signature, okay, the pattern of its own record. And if following the pattern of its own record, okay, it would be fruitful. And so also is Christ, okay, being the seed of Abraham, okay, that we can be fruitful, okay, with the kingdom of God, which is of the Spirit, even though we're still in these containers and vessels of flesh. Okay, so the law, okay, that law of Moses, which was given only to identify the frailty of Adam, the law was given to identify frailty. The law was not given for faith. Okay, but the law was given to identify, okay, the condition of the flesh, okay, that the flesh in its first condition bore the image of light, which God testified of, okay, that God created man in his image and likeness. But when man lost his light, okay, and the knowledge of God faded within him, and that's why the study of scriptures is absolutely necessary, okay, in order to maintain the light of God within you. right? Because we are saved by this knowledge, and by this knowledge we are born of him, as the Apostle Peter also agrees to, okay? Being born of this truth. So when the knowledge of God faded within man, okay? And when the knowledge of God faded within man, another power gained the supremacy, okay, over his understanding. Okay, and that gaining was had to do with the power of death. Okay, and the power of death worked with the signature of man. And when the power of death worked with the signature of man, all his endeavors, okay, to find eternal life and to find equity within his own soul, okay, and to seek peace and security, okay, was then found upon the moral code. He was found upon that. And the moral code, okay, working with the God code, worked death. Okay, but the God code working with faith would bring life. Okay, as we can see in the promise and blessing of Abraham, which we're reading about here in chapter 3, verse 14. Okay, the blessing of Abraham had to do that God set another power upon the signature of man and bridged the breach. Okay, he bridged the breach. Now, how was the breach bridged? Okay, by the power of his word. Okay, by the revelation of his grace. Okay, by the illumination of the Spirit, okay, which God spoke to Abraham, and Abraham believed God. Okay, now Abraham believing God, okay, shows that God can bridge, okay, the breach which he set upon the signature of man, which is death. And this is also seen, okay, with the curse that prevailed upon Sarah. The curse prevailed upon Sarah, and her womb was barren. Okay, and God bridged that breach, removing the curse with faith. Okay, and Abraham believed God, and Sarah believed God. Now, when Abraham believed God, God removed that curse. And when Sarah believed God, he removed the curse upon her. And it became fruitful, okay, being the mother of many nations, and kings, okay, would come of them. Okay, which we see in that Isaac carried that same tradition as we also do today, carrying the tradition of faith through Jesus Christ, okay, that through us the kingdom of God will continue to grow, progress, and expand, that the God code will not be frustrated by the moral code any longer, but that being crucified with Christ, the moral code, which contains the law of condemnation, okay, and carrying the law of condemnation, the curse would prevail over the imagination, okay, but through Jesus Christ, the curse was removed. Okay, and shall be removed at the coming of the next covenant, the third covenant. So in chapter 3, we see that Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. That Abraham provided a pattern for us. Okay, and what was that pattern founded in? Well, the pattern was founded in as concerning revelation, resistance, and reward. Okay, revelation, resistance, and reward. The revelation and resistance and reward, okay, was founded by our father Abraham. So that tradition will be carried into the record of Jesus Christ, so that now we are children of Abraham through Jesus Christ our Lord. That we follow that same pattern, revelation, resistance, and reward. Jesus fulfilled these things when he was speaking to John at the Jordan River, when he said, "Suffer it to be so now. For thus it becomes us to fulfill all righteousness." That the law is now completed. Okay, you being the last prophet, John, okay, and foreseeing these things. Okay, you're the last prophet that was assigned to that first covenant and the covenant of Moses. That you, John, okay, are a point of transition between that and myself. And by baptizing me, I'm showing, okay, this completion. That's why baptism in water at that moment of time was necessary, to show that Jesus was now bridging the breach of these waters. Okay, that at these waters of his baptism, these waters were also divided, okay, by the feet of the priest. When the priest dipped their feet within the Jordan River, okay, the waters were stopped, and there was a breach made upon the River Jordan. Okay, and God bridged that by his word, which he gave to Joshua. We can see the fulfilling of these things and the empowerment of that, beginning a new day, a new dawning, okay, at the time frame which God spoke to Joshua, okay, in 3 days. The 3 days, also known as the third day, is that day of empowerment, the day of promise, the dawning of a new beginning. Okay, and this is the day of a new beginning, okay, even a second, eighth week. When Joshua brought the children of Israel, okay, over the Jordan River on dry ground, okay, it was that point of contact on that third day that the children are now entering into the promise for which they were prepared for. And for 40 years, God prepared their hearts. God could have easily designed a simpler route by bringing them into the land, which we read about there in the book of Exodus. They could have easily entered that land within a month, but God chose a 40-year time of preparation, which 40 years is a time of preparation, as the number 40 days is a time of preparation. The 40 years, the number 4 being represented as a time of healing. The children of Israel had to take on a new perspective, not the rhythm of nature, neither the oath of Pharaoh, but the rhythm of the Spirit, by that which God assigned to them, and God assigned it to them by the angel which spoke to Moses. Which angel Moses was obedient to? Whereas God said to him, "Be mindful of him, for my name is in him. The function of my kingdom is through that which the Spirit gives to you, that you are now under the tethering and tutorage of my Spirit. And by this rhythm, I will reveal myself to you. And by this revelation, I will sustain you." This is a new yoke that you must take on. Okay? This is the yoke of promise. That I will sustain you, and I will be your God, and you should be my children through this yoking and through this new tethering. Okay, not the oath of the flesh, which perishes. Not the oath of Pharaoh, which behavior was contrary to God. And so also all those today who follow the pattern of the moral code, the yoke of the law, are hostile against those who are born of the Spirit. The reason why they're hostile is because they want to maintain that the moral code itself can be made righteous if we follow on and have good intention, in the journey of perfection, that we're seeking for holiness, through the moral code. But holiness and true holiness will never come through the moral code, because true holiness proceeds from the throne of God. And this is the holiness by which we are joined to, whereas it might be fulfilled, which said this, "Be ye holy, for I am holy, saith the Lord." So all those that are joined to him are holiness to the Lord. We can see also this example in the priesthood of Levi. Whereas the Lord told the children of Levi that they would be joined to him, and that through this joining, he would make himself known to them, and by this revelation, they will be a holy people, and that iniquity would not be found within them. And God testified to the fact, that his oath was living among them when he said, even through the lips of Balaam, that a king is among them, and neither is there any iniquity found within them. That testimony stands for our faith today in our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the oath of the Lord. Having removed all offenses from us, by his sacrifice, that our obedience is to the oath of the Lord, our behavior is ordered by the throne of God, and we continue to follow those things which work life in the soul. That's why the just shall live by faith, as he says in verse 11. "We know that no man, that is, no flesh, neither is a conscience purified by anything of the soil, that no man is justified by the law." Nothing of the soil can cleanse the conscience of its defilement, seeing it was defiled by the counsel of Satan and by that perception ever since the beginning, when Satan ruled over the minds of men. Another way to put that God is now taking revenge against all disobedience, because the beast of ignorance is slain by the sword of the Spirit, and we are working with that sword now, so that we can take revenge against all disobedience by fulfilling our obedience through covenant. And now we come to another word here, as concerning covenant. Now the covenant, the word covenant has to do with terms of agreement. Terms of agreement has to do with the word of the oath. We see this also, what Paul says here in Galatians chapter 14 and 15 is the same thing he brings out also in the book of Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 5 and Hebrews chapter 6. In fact, he talks a lot about in the book of Hebrews concerning the promise of Abraham and the Melchizedek priesthood. That these two entities are united together in one. And we see the fulfillment of this, that this was God's intent before the foundation of the world. That was God's intent to unite these two kingdoms together in one, thus removing the offense. That means he bridged it by coming in the form of the flesh. Not that which is of angels, but that which is God himself. So here we in chapter 3, as we continue on, so we see in verse 6, well, let's go in verse 5. He therefore that ministers to you the Spirit. Now, what was it that he ministered to us in the Spirit? Now, he says right here, in the Spirit. When he says in the Spirit, he's talking about a whole and unique and complete priesthood, after the order of Melchizedek. Tools of our priesthood will no longer be resourced from the soil and no longer be restricted by time, as that of Moses' covenant. Circumcision of the flesh was restricted because of death and the death of the individual that was circumcised. And the Sabbath day, the observing of the Sabbath day was also restricted by time. From the time the sun setting to the time also the next sunset, from darkness to darkness, because the Sabbath day began at the setting of the sun and was completed at the same time the next day, and that Jesus was a new dawning to remove it from darkness to himself, from darkness to light, as we also can see in that first covenant, that the days of creation was set from the time of the completion to the time of the new dawning. From the time of darkness to the time of light, which also shows the transition of our own souls from darkness to light. That God has redeemed us from the power of darkness, being translated in the kingdom of his dear Son, in the kingdom of light. So we can see that same transition taking place within us today through the circumcision of the Spirit. As a Spirit, as we learned the doctrine of Christ, our hearts are being circumcised to take on a whole new perception. That which was previous, being dictated by the kingdom of darkness, is being circumcised from our understanding as we take on a whole new frame of thinking. As we take on a whole new frame of thinking. So by his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. A new form of knowledge, a new form of thinking will come about by God's righteous servant, our Lord Jesus Christ, which the law cannot do. Because the law was restricted to time and to the soil and to blood and to death. And Satan entered into all those things. Satan entered those things because death dominated those things. But when Christ came, death did not enter into him, as Jesus himself proclaimed. For the prince of this world comes as nothing in me. Even though my flesh should be crucified and you will see me suffering in that cross, yet my Father has given me a commandment, that I have power to lay down my life, and I have power to take it again. That death does not dominate me, and death will not dominate you. For I possess the keys of hell and death. That you will not be food for hell, neither will your soul be enslaved to death any longer. That I removed those powers upon the moral code by crucifying you. That you be crucified with me. That's what Paul brings out. In chapter 2, verse 20, for I am crucified with Christ. Now, to be crucified with Christ, he's not talking about concerning a physical act, of putting a nail through your wrists or your hands, through the palm of your hands. What he's talking about, has to do with the restriction of the imagination by the death of the moral code. Because again, as I say, themistic law is the child of the moral code, and themistic law ruled the minds of the church, and death entered into that domestic law, so that all their perception had to do with a journey. The journey had to do with trying to find holiness and trying to find wholeness, by endeavoring to imitate Christ and follow event theology. Okay, event theology has to do with selecting certain portions of the Bible or characters of the Bible and trying to live, okay, a holy life, okay, by assimilating, okay, or you say by following their example. Okay, that's event theology. But our example is not the person, it's faith. Okay, if you were to follow event theology, okay, would you select Abel, okay, as event theology? In other words, would you are you going about to seek to be slain by your brother? Okay, that would be event theology. Okay, and there are those that would today try to imitate certain biblical characters, okay, like Isaiah, or you could say like Elijah. Okay, they figure that by imitating these particular biblical characters, okay, that they are living the true heritage of those of faith. But that's not true, because what they're doing is that they're trying to live through the biblical characters, but they're observing these things, okay, with the eye of the moral code. The eye of the moral code stands as a barrier to your reason, and as long as it stands as a barrier to your reason, the grace of God, okay, will not, okay, find its full cycles for your joy, okay, because you'll be frustrating the grace of God, as we said earlier. In chapter 2, verse 21, I do not frustrate the grace of God, because the grace of God is frustrated by the other gospel. Okay, and as Paul said, if any other man preach unto you than that which we, apostles, have preached unto you, then be accursed. The apostle Paul, speaking these things in chapter 1, was not speaking from the position of a denominational apostle. He was speaking these things from the position, okay, of a covenant apostle. A denominational apostle, okay, is trying to build, okay, and evangelize the world according to themistic law and the moral code. Okay, they're trying to bring about, okay, remedy to social issues and trying to resolve relationships in the name of the Lord. But the name of the Lord is not in the moral code. The name of the Lord is in Jesus Christ. Okay, and we can see this in the book of Revelation. Okay, because all those of faith have his name sealed within them. Okay, sealed within them. That means their behavior is ordered by faith. Okay, those whose behavior is ordered by faith, okay, carry the name of the Lord and they behold the face of the Lord. And another way of saying that is that we see eye to eye. Okay, seeing eye to eye, okay, is a two-way reciprocation. Okay, the eye of the Lord is even upon the wicked, but because the wicked do not see the eye of the Lord, they are estranged from the covenant. Okay, they are also condemned, okay, as concerning the God code within them, okay, will not progress. So therefore, they're under condemnation. Okay, and being under condemnation, they're not going to receive the eternal inheritance, because you have nothing as concerning that that is of value or validates them for that inheritance. Faith validates you for that inheritance. So when we see eye to eye, okay, seeing eye to eye means there's a form of reciprocation. We only behold him with the eye of grace. So God gives us eyes to see. He gives us a heart to understand. As he gives us as Jesus brings out, okay, they see with their eyes, but they perceive not. They hear with their ears, but they hear not. Okay, and that is because the moral code is dominating, okay, their eyesight. Okay, they're trying to find value in tradition. They're trying to find value in, okay, in those things, okay, of their, okay, of either their social position, okay, which of course works that tradition. It works that aspiration. It works that principle. Okay, and the imagination assists these things. And who dominates that imagination? Satan does. Okay, it was by the imagination and by false promise, or, okay, by carnal things that Satan gained the rule over Adam. And that's the same thing. Satan is still using that same pattern today to continue to dominate the thinking of the people of this world. That's why the world lies in darkness. As the Apostle John also testified, the world lies in wickedness. Why does it lie in wickedness? Okay, because they're building upon the aspirations of the moral code, and they're calling that righteousness. Okay? And they're trying to bring remedy, and they're trying to resolve the conflicts of the moral code where God says, all you have to do is walk by faith, and I'll bring equity and peace to you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you, okay, but I give you my peace. Okay, and that's why Jesus breathed on them. Okay, bringing upon them, again, has to do with a new beginning. Okay, begins by my spirit, okay, as Adam. Okay, when I breathed in him, I gave him a new beginning, a new start. And that's what God does with us. Okay, as he breathes within us, he's giving us new life, a new beginning, okay, at the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Okay, we're born again by the Spirit and by truth. Okay, so, and going on here, the blessing of Abraham, verse 14, the blessing of Abraham, and that is, has to do with the bridging of his understanding, and the bridging of understanding brought about his joy. Okay, in other words, after he was past the time of siring an heir, okay, then God granted to him that time, okay, for this engagement, okay, and joy. Then Isaac was born. Okay, the Apostle Paul brings the same thing out in the book of Romans. Okay, so if you look over there at Romans chapter 4, okay, in Romans chapter 4, okay, it says here that the blessing of Abraham, okay, well, blessed is a man whom the Lord will not impute sin. When he goes on here, comes this blessedness upon the circumcision only, now chapter 4, verse 9 here, comes this blessedness upon the circumcision only, upon the uncircumcision also. Okay, the blessing did not come, okay, because of one or the other. Okay, it came because of faith. For we say, that's what he says right here, for we say that faith was reckoned unto Abraham for righteousness. And then the circumcision was added as concerning a sign of that. Okay, now how was it then reckoned? Okay, when he was in circumcision, uncircumcision. Not in circumcision, but uncircumcision. And then, after this, he received a sign of circumcision, which was a seal of the righteousness of the faith. Okay, and here we were in verse 11. The word "the faith" there has to do with the knowledge of this, the knowledge of the covenant. Okay, the terms of agreement which Abraham would fulfill in order to continue to remain engaged with God, all right, so that God would continue to sustain his faith. See, that the grace of God would continue from cycle to cycle, from grace to grace, okay, unbroken. Unbroken because of unbelief, but it wasn't broken. Okay, because he was strong in faith, okay, as the Apostle Paul brings out. As we continue on here in Romans chapter 4 here, okay, and being strong in faith, okay, and being not weak in faith, we talks about that there in verse 19, and being not weak in faith, but he was strong in faith. Okay, he wasn't weak, okay, weak by being double-minded. Okay, or considering his present state and circumstances. Okay, but he was strong in faith. Okay, so being not weak in faith, he considered his own body now dead when he's about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Okay, the word deadness right there talks about as concerning the curse on the moral code. Okay, the curse of the moral code works death. Okay, and he staggered at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith. So you see the word strong in faith there. So you can highlight the word weak in faith in verse 19, and then highlight the word strong in faith in verse 20. Okay, those that are weak in faith are double-minded, okay, because they're considering the circumstances or the rhythm of nature in the light of their moral code. They're trying to project the outcome based on their frailty and their failure. Okay, if you base outcome on frailty and your past failures, okay, then you'll be walking here, as he says, weak in faith, disobedience. Okay, but Abraham wasn't disobedient to the revelation of God, though everything stood in contrary to that. Okay, God removed him from the house of his father, Terah, there in Haran. He removed him from the house of his father, which means that's the first point of separation for clarity. He had to be separated or weaned from, okay, the perception of idols, okay, the perception of the gods of this world. So that's the first thing. God gave him grace for separation, and then God gave him grace for growth. Okay, the growth was identified as concerning a former reciprocation by the knowledge which God gave to him. Abraham reciprocated in kind with proper sacrifices. And he also reciprocated and confirmed Melchizedek when Melchizedek met him. So when Melchizedek met Abraham, it shows the uniting of these two kingdoms, the promise of kingship okay, and the priesthood. And then we can see why the Spirit of the Lord, okay, gave us this event in the book of Genesis, and then we see the completion of it, okay, and how God properly assigned it for our understanding there in the book of Revelation. Okay, and we see this in Revelation in chapter 1, whereas, and he has called us kings and priests. Okay, so if you want to make another note on that there in Revelation chapter 1, and has made us kings and priests, okay, under God and his Father. Okay, and that's Revelation chapter 1. Okay, and in chapter 1 there, which I'm going to read you the exact verse here. All right, and whereas he has made us kings and priests. And there in verse 6, okay, chapter 1, verse 6. Now, he made us kings and priests only because of his covenant. Okay, and that's why he begins in verse 5 there. What's even more interesting, and he said the seven spirits of God, which are before his throne, these are the eyes of the Lord. Okay, so those that see eye to eye through covenant, okay, those that see the eye to eye through covenant, seeing the perspective of the throne, we're able to reciprocate that which he grants to us so that we're walking uprightly. Okay, in other words, our eyes are wide open. And we can see this symbolism also put as concerning his eyes were as a flame of fire. Okay, why did God set the symbolism within himself? Because those that see him, okay, only can see him by the Spirit which we're born of. Okay, so his eyes were as a flame of fire. This is the view of the throne, okay, which the Apostle Paul agrees to. Okay, that's why he says there in Hebrews, let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Or we receive the knowledge of God gives us eyes to behold him, so that by beholding him, okay, we have an atonement. Okay, we have our propitiation. Okay, we understand the terms and the protocol of the court. Okay, whereas Jesus is our advocate. Okay, so here in verse 6, okay, because of the terms of the covenant and that we see eye to eye, now therefore he has made us kings, which were born kings, that's to the flesh of Abraham now, following the pattern of Abraham, makes us children of Abraham, which is revelation, resistance, and reward. And has made us kings and priests. So you might want to highlight the word priest there. That is those that are born of the Spirit. Okay, that's why Jesus didn't spring from Levi, he sprang from Judah, of which no tribe, okay, this tribe, Judah, was not considered into the priesthood. Okay, but the calling was by selection and not by the flesh. If it was flesh, then the priesthood would continue according to the order of the flesh, that is of Moses. Okay, but it was of calling, called, chosen, and faithful. We see this proclamation made to Jesus of Nazareth when he was baptized of John in Jordan. Okay, and Jesus straightway coming out of the water. Okay, the heavens were opened unto him. The Spirit descended unto him as a form of a dove, lighting upon him. And a voice came from heaven, okay, as a voice of thunder. And it said this. This proclamation showed that this is our selection, the pattern of our obedience, and the fulfillment for our inheritance yet to come. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. God at this point, okay, is showing ownership upon this pattern. This is a record by which we believe in him. And the Apostle John, of course, expounds on that. Okay, when he says, excuse me, okay, there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, and the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. Okay, and so seeing that the record has been sealed within himself, now we have the view of the throne, the grace of God. We see eye to eye, okay, because we're born priests through Jesus Christ. Okay, we're born kings and called priests. Okay, and through this, glory and dominion is granted to him forever and ever. Amen. Revelation chapter 1, verse 6. Now let's go back here to Galatians. Now you can understand why the Apostle Paul, is emphasizing Abraham. Emphasizing Abraham was not emphasizing the earthly inheritance, okay, but it was emphasizing as concerning that Christ would be born of him, okay, in order to bring us redemption in the flesh. Okay, and we see these two kingdoms united together in the bosom of our Father again. That's why Jesus was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Having been slain before the world was created, God was already teaching us. Okay, it's concerning that I'm going to make a breach in these waters which by which you will be created in. Okay, and in these waters which you will be created, okay, I'm going to bring a bridge. And what is that bridge? That bridge will be myself. Okay, that after separating you, I'm going to unite you. Okay, but the separation, okay, will be but the separation will be the cause of death. Uniting me be the cause of life. Okay, so out of death shall come life, and out of my burial I shall rise again the third day, beginning a new program. Okay, and also beginning a new people, not of the flesh, but of the spirit, okay, and not of the letter of Moses, but of a new knowledge, a new frame of thinking. So that now the blessing of Abraham, okay, being in the form of the flesh, and the bridge coming through him, we now also have the promise, okay, the promise of this relationship which we're now experiencing today. Okay, so in verse 14, that the blessing of Abraham, now the blessing of Abraham wasn't physical things only, okay, but the carnal minded, okay, because they don't understand the bridging, okay, of you see of the signature of man, okay, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, okay, this bridging, okay, they read it today as concerning earthy things. Okay, so that those which are carnal minded, okay, are trying to forge a relationship with God with carnal things. Okay, carnal things which has to do with tithing, communions, physical communions, Sabbath day observation, baptisms, and circumcisions. Okay, if God put the circumcision of the flesh in Jesus Christ, then our circumcision is valid by faith in Jesus Christ alone. If God put tithing in Jesus Christ, okay, then, okay, our faith in him, okay, fulfills the tithing, okay, of Moses in Jesus Christ. Okay, so that our sacrifices of praise, okay, are now the tithing or our offerings in building the government of God, okay, which of course was physical under Moses, but now spiritual in Jesus Christ. That's all spiritual blessings. Okay, Ephesians 1 talks about that. So the blessing of Abraham might come unto Gentiles, okay, through Jesus Christ. Now he is the bridge. So underline Jesus Christ in verse 14. You can put the word bridge over that. Okay, there was a breach. Now there's a bridge. There's a breach, then there's a bridge. There's a breach, then there's a bridge. It was God that set in motion this whole plan. God set the plan in motion, being the Alpha, and he's going to bring it to completion in himself, being the Omega, the beginning and the ending. That's why he assigned that title to himself, so that we will not find confidence in any other thing, okay, neither any other God, not an angel, and not a demon, and not in our imaginations, in Jesus Christ. So the blessing of Abraham might come in the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, being our bridge. Okay, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit. There's the word promise of the Spirit. Okay, that which the Spirit will bring to us. The promise of the Spirit, that which the Spirit will bring to us. Now how do we know that we have received, okay, that token? How do we know we received that token? Okay, because that token was granted, okay, unto those of the first century on the day of Pentecost. Okay, they received the promise of the Spirit. The Spirit was granted to them so that the Spirit working within them would bring them into the fullness of the promise. The partial promise was the flesh. The fullness of the promise was Christ. Okay. The children of Israel received only portions, glimpses, and small tastings, okay, of that which is to come. But now we have received a token of the Spirit, okay, which as we continue in agreement with Christ, using the tools of the covenant, all things which he's promised to us, granted to us, sanctified for our faith, which has to do with prayer, preaching, prophecy, gifts, callings, graces, God, government, truth, and spirit. You can't remove one from the other. All these three work together. Okay, this is a threefold cord. Right, we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now there's the word faith there, so you might want to highlight the word faith. And this faith, the word faith here has to do with the fruit of faith, because faith, there's three manifestations of it, okay, which has to do with the faith, the knowledge, the gift of faith, okay, which is sustain you into adverse circumstances, and we see the fruit of faith, okay, which is that those things which we nurture every day. If you want to grow in faith, you have to use it every day. Okay, that's why it says the just shall live by this. The just shall live by faith. Okay, if you want to be fruitful in the kingdom of God, if you want to stand before God with a pure conscience, okay, it's faith that will provide that for you. Okay, now verse 15. Brethren, okay, all those that follow the pattern, the living pattern, okay, the living pattern and this eternal pattern, okay, the baptism of his knowledge, the eternal baptism. Brethren, I speak after the manner. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, which has to do with that of the flesh. That God assigned this for us in the flesh, to redeem us in the flesh. That's why. That's why Paul's saying this. God assigned the covenant in the flesh. Remember, Jesus, okay, being born of the Virgin Mary. He came in the form of flesh. Okay, he entered into the form of flesh, and we see this as Paul told Timothy there. Okay. In 1 Timothy 3:16, and where he says, without controversy and with no contradiction, without controversy, God was manifest in the flesh. So we see this another way of saying it right here in verse 15 in Galatians 3:15 here. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, those of flesh, though it be but a man's covenant. Okay, this is the terms of service for us at this time in the flesh. Okay, but you notice the terms of service, okay, are going to change in the third covenant. Okay, because it's no longer a man's covenant. Okay, Jesus provided this for us in the flesh. That's why it's called a man's covenant. He provided it for us in the flesh. Okay, but it didn't end there. Because even though Jesus was crucified in the flesh, he rose again from the dead physically. Okay, to show that he had power over death and hell, because he has those keys. Okay, and also provide us new direction. Okay, a new covenant, new terms. No longer under Moses. No longer restricted by death. Because death restricted all those activities of that first covenant. Death can no longer restrict the activity of the God code in you now. The God code, okay, the God code is continually progressive in you and through you, okay, by faith in Jesus Christ. So that even though we are in vessels that are perishing because of the curse of death on the flesh right now, okay, yet the last enemy that will be destroyed is death. Okay, as God removes the capping on this frailty, and gives us new bodies. So, brethren, I speak after the manner of men, as those of the flesh, though it be but a man's covenant, terms of service in our flesh at this proper time. Yet, if it be confirmed, as concerning Abraham, no man disannuls, because it wasn't man that gave it in the first place. It was God that gave it. Okay, God gave the terms, not man. No man disannuls or adds thereto, because God gave the covenant to join these two kingdoms together. Okay, that which separated us, God is now joining. When Adam sinned against God, all right, he was put into a new form and a new kingdom. Okay, the flesh worked under the influence of that kingdom, and by that, God put a power within the soul of man, okay, in order to bring, you could say, social and economic equity, okay, so that man will not be hostile against each other. God had to put a law within him, okay, and that law was sealed in a moral code, okay, which, of course, does not work righteousness, except in the minds of men, but not in the minds of God. Not in the mind of God, but in the mind of man, it works righteousness. Okay, that's why man is trying to continually, okay, bridge the breach with the moral code. Okay, but Jesus Christ bridged the breach in himself. That's why we must have faith in him alone. Okay, not in the works of the flesh, which are condemned, and in the eyes of God are vile. Okay, but through Jesus Christ, who is blessed forevermore, amen, as the scriptures say, okay, our faith is now accepted of God. Okay, because we now have the perspective of the throne. As he said, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Okay, Galatians chapter 3, verse 1. Verse 16, now to Abraham, being in the form of flesh, these two kingdoms would be joined together, okay, at the coming of Christ, which pointed to him, so that we be as kings and priests. Okay, remember, when Abraham met Melchizedek, Abraham of the flesh gave a tithing to Melchizedek, which is of the spirit. okay, which shows the witness and the record being joined together. Even King David, understanding these things, wrote these things in the book of Psalms when he said this. See, the mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace are agreed at each other. Okay, because truth shall spring out of the earth and righteousness shall come from above. Showing that these two things, the flesh and the spirit, will be united together, okay, and being joined in unity, okay, we would build one kingdom, okay, the kingdom of God. Now we see this in the book of Revelation, okay, as concerning the throne of the Lord, okay, in the holy city New Jerusalem, which is the mother of us all. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made, He said not this into seeds as of many, which has to do with the moral code. The truths of the moral code are many. But he says, but I'm not going to use the truths of the moral code. Okay, neither am I going to select, neither will be the record will not be in man, it will be in myself. If the record was established within man, then all of us could express whatever we wish and be accepted of God. That means we could use our imagination with it, see? And by using our imagination to bring equity to our own soul, God would accept us just on the conditions of our effort. Okay, but that would be works of unrighteousness. Okay? So God says not to seeds, not to the efforts and the aspirations of the moral code, but by one record, okay, and one pattern, Jesus Christ. So, and he says right here, he says not into seeds as of many, because the moral code of the flesh, okay, but as of one, which is called, chosen, and faithful. Okay, God selected one. That's why we are also called the elect. That's why we also have the titles of chosen ones, okay, holy ones, okay, or those which are beloved of God. We obtained these titles only because we are joined to God through Jesus Christ. For he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. How are we joined to God? By the priesthood of Jesus Christ, after the order of Melchizedek, in recognition of government, truth, and spirit. Okay, so Melchizedek greeting Abraham and having fellowship with him and communing with him and showing Abraham the fulfillment of his life through the scriptures. Okay, Abraham gave the tenth part of all. Okay, which shows that the spirit was greater than the flesh. Okay, and to your seed, which is Christ. This is what God or what Paul said. Okay, in agreement here. Okay, concerning this uniting, and to your seed, which is Christ, joining these things together. All right, and verse 17. All right, and this I say. Okay, as expounding on this, that the covenant, and there's the word covenant again, so you might want to highlight the word covenant there, okay, which has to do terms of agreement. Okay, the terms of agreement has to do with that. As we keep his commandments, then we have propitiation for sins. Okay, in the courts of the Lord, okay, we must behave according to the advocate of Jesus Christ. Our behavior, okay, must be according to his policy. Okay, we must proceed in the presence of God on the terms which he shed his blood for. He sprinkled his blood on these terms, right? And this is also fulfillment, okay, or was also showed in the symbolisms, okay, when Moses received all the commandments of God, okay, he sprinkled the people and the book, okay, with water and blood, joining them to God, by which he said, by this sprinkling, I'm enjoining you to God. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God, okay, that means the spirit which Jesus will give, okay, will confirm only this one pattern. And this I say, see, it won't confirm many patterns, which is the record of man, but only confirm one pattern, and that's the record of Christ. And it's by this record we have a strong consolation, and it's by this record and hope that in which we gain entrance within the veil. Okay? And we see that in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 20. So this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God, and in his bosom, before of God, the Spirit, which Jesus will give, in Christ, before of God, in Christ. The covenant. See, I'm just pointing out these words to you here. The word covenant. The terms of agreement be with that which the Spirit issues to us. Okay? And not of the law. Okay? Before of God in Christ, the law, which is 430 years later, after Abraham, cannot disannul. Okay? The law did not, never superseded that. Okay? It was always those that walked by faith that were acceptable to God. We can see also the fulfillment of these things. Okay? And as concerning the lifestyle of Samson. Okay, Samson, whose name is also mentioned in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Okay, Samson and Jephthah, okay, and who made the foolish vow. Okay, we can see that even though they were of that first covenant of Moses, yet we can see that their behavior was ordered by faith. And so also today, our behavior is ordered by faith. Okay, but not by under condemnation of the law. For the law only does one thing, and that's condemned. Okay? It defiles the conscience. Okay? When the soul stands in a form of corruption, it's because the conscience is defiled. But by faith in Jesus Christ, the conscience being made pure, therefore our whole soul is full of light. That is the true light, which lightens every man that comes into the world. Okay? Gospel of John chapter 1. Okay, and so we go on here, that it should make the promises of God of none effect. That which is the Spirit would supersede that of the letter. We can see, again, the conflict between the moral code and faith. Okay, when Jesus went through the fields on the Sabbath day, and his disciples began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat them. The Pharisees, which were under the yoke of the moral code, okay, and adding to that the precept and tradition, okay, which work with their imagination and aspiration of life, okay, were in direct conflict with Jesus, who was the stone of stumbling and rock of offense. The man and the method which God would select to bring our redemption, okay, was in effect not subject to law. Okay, it was not subject to law, and that's what he says right here. The promises, okay, were not of the law but of faith. Okay, all the promises of God are in Him, and in Him, yea and amen. They're sealed in those of faith. Okay, those which reflect and savor the knowledge of God, partaking of the meat of the altar, are those which will inherit eternal life. These are those whose names are written in the book of life. Okay, those which partake of the altar of Christ, not those which partake of the altar of Moses, or are in pursuit of holiness apart from holiness. True holiness is only in the throne, okay, not in the pursuit or mitigating circumstances, or people trying to resolve the conscience through good works. Okay, all they're trying to do is they're trying to settle the conscience with the imagination, and it won't work. Okay, verse 18. For if the inheritance be of the law, which this is what we come to here, okay, these are the things which I've been speaking of here, is concerning that internal inheritance. Now, the inheritance, he's not talking about that of the portion. He's talking about the whole inheritance, which is in God Himself, that we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, that we will share of equal inheritance, okay, being now included within a Godhead. Okay, this is the mystery, okay, which Satan does not want the church to know. Okay, that Satan was never assigned to be part of the Godhead, but his position and among the orders would be always in service to the Godhead, okay, but not as one that participates with his decisions. But now, okay, because of faith in Jesus Christ, okay, we are engrafted into the true vine, okay, and made those which are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Okay? For if the inheritance be of the law, okay, which was a portion, then there's no more promise, which is of the whole. Okay? If you're partaking of the portion, then you're not going to be partaking of the whole. Okay? If you're trying to please God by the works of the flesh, okay, and reflecting upon your frailty, you will never grow in the grace of God. If you reflect upon your offenses, you cannot reciprocate God your offenses. Okay? God does not accept you on the grounds of your weakness. He accepts you only a ground of His grace. As those in the temple of Baal, in the temple of Baal, which is the title, okay, which the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, gave the false religious system the title Baal, because it had similarities to that of the functions of the Temple of Jehovah or the Temple of Solomon. It had similar functionalities, okay, and its evangelistic program was very aggressive. They had more people go to the Temple of Baal, okay, than those which went to the Temple of Solomon. They were looking at their evangelistic program, okay, as being more successful, okay, than that even of the Temple of Solomon. Okay, they had similarities. That's that other gospel which we spoke of earlier. Okay, the similarities, but not the substance. Okay, even Satan himself can transform himself into an angel of light. His appearance is deceptive, okay, but his substance, okay, cannot. His substance is not of God's kingdom. That can't deceive you, because it's of a different tree. Okay, it's of a different record. It's of a different spirit, being the wisdom of this world. Okay, so here, we'll go back here, verse 18. Now, for if the inheritance be of the law, okay, it is no more promise. Okay, that means the spirit does not enter into the flesh. But God gave it to Abraham by promise, the revelation. So you see the three R's right here, okay, concerning revelation, resistance, and reward. So you can put three R's right there, the three uppercase R's. And then beneath that, put the three lowercase R's. Okay, which has to do with the reciprocation, reflection, okay, and rehearsing. Okay, reflect and reciprocate. Okay, we rehearse the testimony of God's, reflect on his judgments, and reciprocate the knowledge. Okay, that's the order which I want you to remember it. Okay, I want you to remember it in that particular order. We rehearse his testimonies. Okay, we reflect his judgments, and we reciprocate his knowledge. That's the way I want you to remember it. So don't mix those around, because then you start confusing people. Okay, but remember the three uppercase R's. Okay, revelation, resistance, and reward. And work also with the three lowercase R's. Okay, the reward has to do with because of your rehearsing the testimonies, reflecting the judgments, and reciprocating the knowledge. Okay, and this is what we do daily. That's how we live. We live, okay, by this pattern. Okay, which Jesus provided himself as that living record. Okay. Well, let's finish up here in verse 19. Wherefore then serves the law? Why was the law given? Okay, in the first place, if the law is not of power to bring righteousness, then why did God assign it to the moral code in the first place? Because God assigned it to the moral code in order to show that the moral code itself is not sufficient for righteousness. That's why God did that. Okay, so God assigned the law and commandments to say that you are to have no other God before you, which includes your imagination and your moral code. Okay, because your moral code is weak and frail. Okay, it only works as concerning your social environment, but it has nothing to do, okay, with the rhythm of the spirit. The moral code is assigned to the rhythm of nature, but the Spirit of the Lord is assigned to the rhythm of the spirit. That's why we walk by faith. So wherefore then serves the law? It was added. Why was the law added? Because of transgressions. Okay, it was given to magnify man's frailty, so that man would see that his flesh was vile. That even though he was in, the image of God, but he didn't possess the likeness of God. The likeness of God is not found in the moral code. Okay, the likeness of God, okay, is found only in faith. Okay, and by faith we carry his light within us. Okay, as the scripture says. Okay, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So, and by this revelation, by the knowledge of, by the holy knowledge of God, okay, this is the order our lifestyle. We order our lifestyle. Our behavior is ordered by the oath of the Lord.